Turn to Psalm 9. We'll see how far we get. I don't think we'll get past verse 11. If we do, I'm going to be without notes because I only made him to verse 11. I titled this message, A Holy Resolve. A Holy Resolve. If you'll notice in these first couple verses or so, I will. I listened to a message that Brother Henry preached on this, three days ago. And he made this statement concerning this first verse. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. And he said, and it just struck a chord with me, that's not always easy. It's not always easy to praise God with your whole heart. It's not always easy to praise God when you're sitting in darkness and when you're going through such a painful situation. It's not always easy to praise God. And it just struck a chord with me. It was, I thought, I'm glad you said that. That was my first thought. I'm glad you said that. Because when we read this, you know, it just sounds like it's up on top of a mountain and you're all, it's not that way. But here is a holy resolve that David makes. And as it applies to the greater David, we know he did, for sure. At all times. Now, he never had a time when he did not praise God with his whole heart. But he says here, I will praise thee, O Lord, that is, O Jehovah, our Savior, with my whole heart. First of all, it's personal. I will. David was determined to praise God at all times. There is, in a child of God, especially as that child matures, a determination to praise God no matter what comes. He's worthy of praise whether I have a good day or a bad day. God's worthy of praise for who He is. And as Henry said, praising God is not always easy, but we are determined to do it, to praise Him. O Lord, O Jehovah, my Savior, we praise Him who only is God. Our God is God, and there is none beside Him. You know, if you really stop at times, just give that some thought. The God we worship is the only God there is. He is God. And He's our only Savior. There are not many Saviors. There's only one. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. And that straight gate and that narrow way is Jesus Christ. It's a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only God and He's the only Savior. He's Jehovah, my Savior. And I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. With that new heart. That, Lord, that You have given me, I will praise You with. I'll praise You with a new heart. God must give us a new heart to praise Him, for the old heart never will praise Him. It never will praise Him. Never has, never will. But God has given to us a new heart. He said, I'll give you a new heart. In Ezekiel, I believe it is. I'll give you a new heart. And this is the heart that worships God. This is the heart that worships God in sincerity and in truth. This new heart. And worshiping God from the heart is true worship. Listen, you and I could be here and worship never happen. It won't even be within a mile of us. But if my heart is engaged in this, this is true worship. When God is worshiped with the heart. When the heart is engaged, God is worshiped in spirit and in truth, when the heart is engaged. And then he says here, I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Now, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only person who can show forth all the marvelous works of God because He is God. He's the only one who can reveal all the marvelous works of God. In creation, in providence, but especially salvation. He can reveal them, but also to us, it is a privilege. It's a real privilege and an honor and a duty to show forth the marvelous work of God in salvation. That salvation is of the Lord. It's no other way. It's of the Lord. From in its beginning to its end, it's of the Lord. And we show that forth here week after week after week. The message doesn't change. Now, I may come from a different portion of Scripture, but the message is Christ and Him crucified. The message is salvation is of the Lord, and we give unto Him the glory due unto His name. Now, one of the ways to praise God is to tell the truth on Him. That's one of the ways we praise Him. We brag on Him. We tell the truth on Him. We speak of His holiness, of His love, of His grace, of His goodness. We speak well of Him. To speak of His marvelous works is to speak of Him first. Because the work is worthless if it's not Him. It depends on who's doing the work, whether it's worth anything or not. The reason that salvation is so sure is because of the one who did it. God in human flesh. Redemption is His chief work. It's His work. Listen, it's His work exclusively. Exclusively. It's His work. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of the Lamb of God. Redemption is His exclusive work. And then He says in verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will be glad. There's a determination. You know, you get up in the morning, you just determined. And I've said this to my grandkids. I said, you can pretty much have the kind of day you want to have. If you want to have a bad day, go ahead. It's the attitude you face it with. It's how you handle what comes your way. If you're going to have a bad day or a good day. I will be glad. Now, David, how do you know that? I am determined. I'm going to be glad. Because whatever happens, it's of God. It's of the Lord. Whatever happens, it's of the Lord. And he says, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. Our gladness comes from being in the Lord. That's where our gladness comes from. The believer's gladness is in the Lord Jesus Christ, his or her Savior. And it becomes a part, now listen, it becomes a part of their character. It becomes a part of their character. Gladness becomes a part of their character. I'll be glad in the Lord. I'll rejoice in the Lord. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. I believe it was over Philippians, Quint, always. But I'm not having a good day. Well, the Lord hasn't changed. Salvation hasn't changed. You're still secure in Him. You're still saved. Your sins are still gone. He's already determined the end from the beginning. You know, I was watching a bit of a history thing on Churchill from 1940 to 45, I think it was, leading up to World War II. And all this worry and all this gathering of the men's and the minds and all of this that was going on. And I was sitting there watching that and I thought, if they only knew, if they only could really get a hold, that the end has already been determined. Gentlemen, let's pray and let's go back and let's do what we feel led to do. But the end is already determined. The outcome is determined. Now for me, that creates rest. that really, truly creates rest and comfort for me in whatever situation I'm in. It creates comfort and rest because I know the outcome's already determined. The best thing to do is just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And then he says here, he says, I will be glad and rejoice in the Lord. I will sing praise to thy name. O thou most high, put a tune to your gladness. Put a tune to it. You know, it's hard to sing, really sing now from the heart and not be glad. I mean, I know there's a lot of mournful songs, especially if you listen to country songs. I mean, I mean, God's age. I won't shut up. But put a tune to your gladness. We sing unto Him with gladness because, you know why? We sing unto Him with understanding. I know the one I'm singing to, and I know what I'm singing about. Every time we gather together like this, our singing ought to take the roof off. We're not going to hell. Think about it. Selah. He has lifted us out of the pit. You are a firebrand lifted out of the fire. If anybody on this earth ought to sing, it ought to be us. It ought to be us. We sing with understanding. Listen here, because he says this, O thou most high. We know the one we're singing to. We worship and serve no earthly God, but God who's on high. We sing unto your highness. And when my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. Don't you like that confidence? If my enemies don't get me, you know, if they don't get me. No, that's not what he says. He says when. When my enemies fall. And turn back. Faith is really just confidence in God. It's trusting Him. It's believing Him. It's confidence. Our enemies, and this was such a blessing to me when just the thought of it, the thought of this was a blessing. My enemies, your enemies, you who believe, they're already defeated. God is just using them. God is just using them to form me and mold me into the image of Christ. They're already defeated. That's a good thought for me. Who are these enemies? When my enemies? Well, the chief enemy is Satan. Another enemy is sin. Another enemy is death. God has turned them back. Death is no more an enemy to us, is it? Not to the believer. It's no more an enemy. God has taken I remember when I was just a kid, I watched Rudolph, watched it every year. You know, when I was just a kid. And the abominable snowman, he took his teeth out. And he wasn't dangerous no more. God has defanged our enemies. He's defanged them. They have no teeth. They got to bark. Satan's called the accuser of the brethren. He's got to bark, but he has no bite. He has no bite. And then look here. He said, well, let me see where I'm at. In verse 4, look at this. For thou hast maintained my right in my cause, thou sattest in the throne judging right. But thou hast maintained my what? Righteousness. Where did you get righteousness from? God. God has maintained my righteousness because it's of Him. He's maintained it. I can't destroy it. This is a righteousness I cannot destroy. And he's maintained my cause because Christ took it up. He's the keeper of my righteousness, for it comes from him, and the judge of the earth. Listen, he says, "Now thou settest in the throne doing right, the judge of the earth." Abraham said, "Well, do right." He's the justifier. When all is said and done, final judgment ends with God. Not the courthouse here in the county. It ends with God. That's where the final judgment is set. "Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever." Now I know this is victory assured, what this is, because I still have enemies, don't you have enemies? We have enemies. Satan's an enemy. He's still around. But listen, he speaks here, says they're already defeated. They're done. They're done. Victory's already assured. He said, "You've destroyed the wicked." This is speaking as our Lord saying this. This matter is already done. I've destroyed the wicked. I have taken away their power. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, you're under grace. But it says here, the heathen, he said, "Thou hast rebuked the heathen is rebuked." But they don't hear the word. They hear, you know, every time the gospel's preached, the heathen, the unbeliever, is rebuked. Every time they hear it, every time it's preached, they're rebuked. But the scripture said, "God speaks once, yea, twice, but man perceives it not." He perceives it not. Just like I wrote it in the bulletin, I think it was this week, I put it in the bulletin. You know, when you hear thunder, do you think of the thunder of His voice, or you just think it's going to be a storm? Believers hear the voice of God. They know God, that storm and that thunder is His. It's His. All the heathen here is, there's a storm coming and we need to get in the house. God speaks once, yea twice, but man perceives it not. O thou enemy, destruction's come to a perpetual end. God's going to put an end to all the wretchedness and the destruction of this world. He's going to put an end to it. And thou hast destroyed cities. God's brought them down, is what he's saying. God has brought down cities. God has brought down Sodom and Gomorrah. How many cities? Look over history. You can't even, some of these cities are buried deep under the earth, deep under the sand over there. These places are buried. God's laid them waste. Their memorial is perished with them. They built a memorial. Somebody had enough money, gave enough money, got his name out there, got him a little memorial, and God has destroyed it. He said, "I destroyed your memorial to yourself." What God does here, He turns the enemy's destruction upon their own head. You know, they thought when they put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, they nailed Him there to the cross and they crucified Him, they thought they'd put an end to Him. But, oh, you know, all they did was promote His success. That's all they did. But the Lord shall endure. He puts an end to their cities. He brings their memorials into the dust. But here's the good news. Here's the comfort of God's people. But the Lord, Jehovah our Savior, shall endure. Or the translation is this: He's seated upon His throne. The Lord has never abdicated His throne. He's still on it. And He's still ruling. When you and I are gone, He'll still be running this. Our Lord will still be running all this. When we're gone. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared His throne for judgment. His throne is prepared for judgment. He's not unprepared. There's nobody has ever died and come before God, and he has to open the book and say, who are you? Let's see if I can find your name here. No, it's prepared for you. Waiting on you. Waiting on you. For the unbeliever. First of all, the eternality of our Lord is a real cause for praise and gladness. He endures forever. If you've ever seen to be at a loss to praise God, which you'd be, I don't know if that could happen, but if, you know, as sinful as we are, it can happen. We can praise Him for His eternality, for His unchangeableness, His immutability. I am the Lord, I change not. I'm so glad there's an anchor. I'm so glad there's one in all this change who does not change. You can go to Him and you can go to the throne of grace and you don't have to be afraid if He had a bad day. Yeah. You know, your dad come in from work, he's tired and you got something you want to talk to him about, but you're like, Mom, what mood is Dad in? Our Lord is always, always, always ready to hear His children. He's always ready to bend an ear to their cry. He's never in a bad mood toward His children. Never. Never. Kings and kingdoms come and go, but our God remains the same forever and ever. Not subject to any change. Not subject to any change. You know, it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no change in His appearance. You know, there's a change in my appearance, other than a red face. But there's a change in my appearance. I'm getting older. Sin is, you know, Paul said in Corinthians, though our outward man perish, I'm looking at a bunch of perishing bodies right now. Your body, my body, is perishing. Its gravity is taking it to the grave. But the Lord knows no change, no change of attitude, no change of body. He knows no change. He's the eternal one. And right judgment, He says, He hath prepared His throne for judgment. Right judgment is always to be found at His throne. Lay your case. Now listen. Lay your case before Him. And trust Him. A believer can do that. A pretender cannot do that. But a believer can. And God's going to bring the judgment. I don't think He's going to do something wrong just because you're His child either. No, we just lay it before Him and whatever, however He judges it. It is. It is what it is. And it's right. He'll not take the side of wrong. And He shall judge the world in righteousness. Now the world is going to be judged in strict, strict righteousness. They're going to find out who God is. Outside of Christ, He's a consuming fire. Unbending. Unyielding in any point. I mean any point. There's not going to be a jury there that's going to vote on whether this person is guilty or not guilty. God says guilty, He says not guilty. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister. He shall execute judgment to the people in uprightness. God can never be charged with wrong. He can never be charged with favoritism. He can never be charged with favoritism. He always judges right. The Lord is righteous and His judgments are right. I think next week, Lord willing, we'll finish the rest of this chapter, but look at verse 16. The Lord is known by the judgments which He executes. He's known by His judgments. Holy, right, just. And there's a set time for judgment. Listen to Revelation 20. And I'm going to read this. I copied this down. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. Christ, what did Christ say in John 14? I go and prepare a place for you. And the ungodly, the unbelievers, those who believe not, he said there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The things that they thought were forgotten a long time ago. The things that they said, well, I won't do that no more. Well, it doesn't matter. You already did it. It's on the books. It's on the books. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. You know, God's not going to give someone more punishment than they deserve. Really, there are degrees of torment. He's going to give to everyone what they deserve. Now, the wages of sin is death. I know that. And I can't even imagine how bad even the least might be, if I can use it that way. But they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And this is the death that you and I will not taste. We will not taste of this death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now the world can laugh at judgment. They can laugh at this, but they won't be laughing when that day comes. They'll be crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from, it says, the wrath of the Lamb. But then he says here in verse 9, the Lord also will be a refuge, a high place for the oppressed. These are His people, the oppressed of His people, a refuge in times of trouble, in judgment. In this judgment I just read to you, Jesus Christ is our refuge. He's our refuge. I heard Henry tell a story once. I may have told this, but, you know, I'll tell it again. And he said there was a wagon train going out west. This really stuck with me when he told me a story. When he was in a message he's preaching. He said there was a wagon train going out west, and there was a prairie fire, and a little girl was sitting there with her dad, and she was scared to death. And the wagon masters had them to circle the wagons, burn a big spot out, And then the wagon masters had everybody get on that burnt ground. And that little girl was scared; she was crying, and her daddy said to her, "said Honey, don't worry. Where the fire has burned once, it will not burn again." The fire fell on God, on Jesus Christ. The fire of God's wrath fell on Him. It's not going to fall on me. It's not going to fall on you. We don't have to worry about it. The Lord is a refuge. He is burnt ground. Jesus Christ is burnt ground. And in times of trouble, whatever the trouble may be, Jesus Christ is our refuge. He's our high place. He's a place we run to. and confusion. It doesn't matter. Job said in Job 10, I am full of confusion. What is going on? But then he goes on to say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I don't know how this is going to come out, but I know he's alive. And I know that after the skin worms have chewed up this body, with my own eyes, I'm going to see him. That's what kept him going through that terrible time of trouble. The Lord Jesus Christ he kept his Redeemer before him through all that trouble. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. They that know those that know his name. Jehovah Jesus. They will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. It's like he's saying here after verse 9, he's saying, and to add to that, everyone that knows thy name will trust thee. Everyone who knows the name of God. That's not just name dropping. And it's not just knowing a name. You know, I mean, I can know a name and not know the person. But to know his name here is to know him. The Lord will provide. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. His name is where we take refuge. Who he is. And when you know a person, when you know them, you know if that you can trust them or not, don't you? You can't trust that person. I know him. Or there's someone you know, you say you can trust, you can take him at his word. You can take God at his word. And those who know him, as he's been revealed to them, he's revealed himself to them, they trust him. They trust him. When you know him, you'll find in him all you need. Faith and knowledge go together like faith and repentance. You can't believe on someone you don't know. There's got to be God-given knowledge. Someone said this, knowledge, faith, and experience are thus connected. Paul, in Philippians 3, he calls this knowledge excellent knowledge. He gave up everything for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then he says, For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. God reveals himself as the faithful God to those who earnestly seek him. He says here in Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. You're seeking the Lord. Your heart is going after him. Your heart's going out after him. You're seeking him in prayer. You're seeking him right now, being here in this service. Speak, Lord. Be our teacher. And then he ends here in verse 11. We don't end. I'm going to end. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in where? You. Zion. The church. God dwells in you. Now, does it look like it? No. No, most of the time we don't act like it at all. But God dwells in you. Zion. Sing praises. See, now David calls upon the people of God to join him in praising God. He starts out, I will sing, I will praise, I will be glad. And now it's like he turns to the people, the congregation, and he says, now let's sing. Let's sing. We're going to have to sing after this one. We're going to have to lift it up. The greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ, calls upon us to sing praises to Jehovah our Savior. What he shows us here, that God dwells in the church. He gathers with his people where they gather. And that's where he's And that's where there is a special manifestation of His presence, His Word, His truth, His gospel. And He says here, I'll declare among the peoples that His doing. Declare among the people His doings. That's what I'm doing right now. That's what I'm doing. Sunday when at 9 o'clock, that's what we do on the radio. We are declaring among the people what the Lord has done in salvation. It is a great privilege to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me the old story one more time. This is how God saves sinners. God does not save sinners through getting them to do this or do that, but to just shut up and listen while we tell the story. All right.